This past week, I went out to Chicago to go to the Houseware Show. If you don't know about the Houseware Show, it's the industry's big trade event for small kitchen appliances, cookware, and lots of other things that go in your home. I wanted to go so I could check up on the latest trends in the smart kitchen and food tech. And there was a lot of cool stuff there, including things like a pancake robot and a new induction oven from Panasonic. I had a lot of fun. I went there on Monday night, attended a dinner for the IoT Consortium, had a lot of folks from my Smart Kitchen Summit attend as well, and then the next day I did a barnstorm tour of the show floor. In this podcast, I talked with Mike Wallace, who I sat next to at the dinner, and it reminded me how spot on some of Mike's observations are. For those of you who don't know Mike Wallace, he's a toy inventor and the creator of the Perfect Bake and Perfect Drink. Really cool connected devices for the kitchen. And so I invited him on the show so we could catch up and talk about all the cool things we saw at the Houseware Show and some of the trends we see coming out of it. And I wanted to bring this to you this week because the Houseware Show just ended, so you can enjoy it. If you did go there, when you tweet at me, tell me what you thought I missed at Michael Wolf. If you didn't go, hopefully this helps you feel like you did. This is part of the interview series that, as I said, we're expanding the type of content we bring to you on the Smart Kitchen Show. And this is one type that I want to continue to bring you. Conversations about things that happened, whether it's a trade show or stuff in the news. All right, folks, that's it for now. Here's my conversation with Mike Wallace as we talk about what happened at this week's Houseware Show. Welcome to the Smart Kitchen Show. My name is Mike Wolf. The Smart Kitchen Show is a podcast about the kitchen, technology, and food, and the story of a conference that brings all those things together. I'm your host, Michael Wolf, and I put this podcast together because in the process of creating the Smart Kitchen Summit, I've been meeting lots of great folks that I thought you should hear from too. If you'd like to listen to more Smart Kitchen shows, you can find them in iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. The Smart Kitchen Summit will be back in 2016 on October 5th and 6th in Seattle. If you'd like to go, just go to smartkitchensummit.com for more information. And now, on to the show. Hey, well, I have Mike Wallace on the podcast today, and Mike, you've never heard this joke. I just want to make sure that everyone knows it's not Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. That's completely original, right?
Yeah, usually they bring up Morley Safer, not Mike Wallace.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, you're actually, I think, way more interesting, and you probably know a lot more about the stuff we want to talk about at the Houseware Show. We both had an opportunity to sit next to each other at the IoT dinner, and I moseyed up to the bar, ordered some Zambuca, and we bonded over that. And you had never put water in your Zambuca.
I have never watered down my Zambuca. It was a revelation for me. I've had it flaming. I've had Opal Zambuca. I've had all kinds of Zambuca. I've never put water in it.
What's so syrupy? It's like drinking syrup. Now, I love the flavor of it, but it's so concentrated and thick that I just thought it tastes better.
I agree. In fact, I'm going to do that from now on. It's a great trick. Thank you.
So that's our tip, but we're actually getting together today on a podcast to go over the Houseware Show. I love the show, by the way. This is a great show. It seems like it's perfect for you guys, with your efforts to recreate way people interact with the bar, the smart bar, with, smart bake, et cetera. And we're going to talk about how, you know, what you guys are doing and an interesting announcement you guys had to the show. But I just want to ask you, what were some of the cool things you saw at Housewares?
Well, I mean, I've got to admit, my favorite thing is the same thing that was my favorite thing last year, but they improved it, and it's the pancake printer. By far, they were putting photographs into the pancake printer this year, and I actually have a pancake with my face on it.
I feel like 3D food printing is going to be an amazing thing, and it's mainly going to be around presentation. Like, I don't feel like people are going to be like in third world countries printing food, you know, in a way that it's like this amazing thing that changes the life of the world. I think it's going to be great for restaurant presentation.
I do. And it could also just change the way we celebrate birthdays.
Exactly. And it's one of the cool, it's not quite 3D printing, although it is. Have you seen the one that does the really cool, like espresso foam heads? Kind of the decorative.
I've seen it on the internet. I've never seen one in person.
I'm a little bit bummed I didn't get to swing by and see that because I was in a rush. That was one of my.
Was there one at the show?
I don't know. I'm talking about the pancake printer. I didn't have a chance to get by to see that. Did you actually eat one of the pancakes?
I did not. Our PR lady was so very kind, and she took photos of all of us at the end of the show and had pancakes made and sent photos to us so we could all change our profile picture on our Facebooks.
Okay, wait a minute. You have a pancake representation of your face?
Yes.
Okay, that just completely blew my mind, and I'm like, that may change the world. That may change the world. You can, if you could do your face on a pancake, that's
exactly amazing. Exactly. It's going to change my world.
So I wrote a post about the Houseware show about some of the things I thought were really big things that help that maybe could recreate the way we cook, prep food. But I preface all that by saying, you know, kind of connected devices are getting fairly commonplace at these shows. And it was no different here. I swung by Nespresso and saw their connected coffee maker. And I asked the guy, I said, you know, what can you do with this? And he's talking about how you could schedule coffee and you could turn it on and off. And I'm like, you know, you could turn it on and off with the button on the top of the coffee maker. So I wasn't there to see that type of stuff. So I get it. And you know why a big company like Nespresso would do that, but it's still that to me wasn't the cool stuff at Housewares.
Yeah, that felt more to me about replenishment than being connected and making sure you always had Nespresso coffee nearby.
And they did have a subscription potential with the Nespresso, and that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's why Amazon Dash is so exciting for connected device makers, particularly if they have good relationship. Probably more exciting for CPG companies, like, right, you know, if you have a coffee offering, and that's part. Nespresso is one of those fully integrated ecosystem plays where they have the device as well as the coffee. But that's exactly right. You're right. It's like, okay, can I subscribe and make sure this stuff is sent to me when I need more?
Yeah. I mean, their business is a razor blade business, a lot like SodaStream.
Well, and that type of observation is exactly why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because I don't know if people know this. Like you were at the Smart Kitchen Summit. I felt like one of the most enjoyable, panels to listen to was yours. Partly because you've been out there battling and doing this. And I think you have a really interesting background. You're a toy inventor, which I think just is cool to say you're a toy inventor, but actually to be one is really cool. And then you had this idea for this smart bar device. You were overseas and like you had a conversation with someone. You couldn't get the drink made you the way you wanted it to. And then you went back and invented it. And then you had a purchase order like 6 weeks later.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it worked.
And I don't necessarily want to make this like the story of Mike Wallace and the origin story of the origin story of Perfect Company, but I just wanted to mention that because it's so cool and your observations are generally spot on. So I want to ask you with that in mind about some of the other things I saw. So one of the categories I think rising up is this, what I would call the multi-cooker. It's a little bit on the robot cooking continuum. Like, you know, you have these guys trying to do these full cooking robots, but then there's ones that just are a little bit of a, you put food in it and it kind of guides you through on a touchscreen. One of them was by a company called Gourmia.
Yes, I saw that.
You did see it. Did you have a chance to kind of look at it and think about it?
I did. It felt a little bit, I'm trying to remember the name. There is a very famous multi-cooker that chops, dices, stirs, cooks, blends, that I believe was made in Germany that a lot of people swear by, but you can't find it in the US and it's like a $1,500 item. And so the Gourmia version just looked to me like a less expensive version of that multi-cooker. You know, sort of slow cookers and multi-cookers. Multi-cookers are kind of on the high end of the slow cooker spectrum I think it's the number three category for small appliances. So it's a very popular item and most kitchens have some form of that.
Yeah, and this I guess the new genre is the connected multi-cooker. And when I was talking to the Gourmia person, they were positioning it surprisingly to me as part of what they're going to call their new IoT cooking line, which I think makes sense if we're like talking industry to industry person, B2B conversation, right? But as a consumer facing conversation, I don't know if that is what I would suggest, because I feel like when we overplay the technology hand, especially for consumers, like that is not necessarily a way to drive sales.
Yeah. If the device you're talking about, which was right up front on the corner, it's the one that had the pad, the display built into it.
Yep.
I think is always a mistake to put something on a machine you could use for years that can be outdated in a year, which is something like a pad and software.
And you wonder, I don't know the specifics, and to be fair, we don't know enough about it. They may be able to kind of to field upgrade it. I think it is based on Android.
But the hardware is going to age over time.
That is true. So we'll see about that. I think it's interesting category to watch, but as it gets connected, there's all sorts of design choices you can make, whether or not you put an embedded touchscreen on it or not. But this one, I think, was for sale for $599 or $600. I think it's going to be available in Q3. This company called Gourmia. Another thing, I knew that I first saw them in a big way at a trade show at CES. I'd heard of them in late 2015, but that's because they launched then. They started selling their stuff around the time we had the summit on Amazon.
Right.
And they're literally coming out of nowhere. Apparently they have money from a company, a distributor in New York called Fesco Distributors. Just a little bit of info if people are interested. But it's like one of these companies, I think it's seeing an opportunity in the kitchen space, because I think there's a lot of innovation. They're saying, let's create an entirely new company and be very forward-leaning with our products.
Yeah, and you know, I have to tell you, they definitely line up on one of the things I think is most important, which is price value. They understand retail. All of their items are basically less expensive than other items in the same category or close to the same price. So a lot of times you see smart connected stuff and it's very expensive, and they aren't doing that at all. I mean, they had a $99 immersion cooker. So they definitely understand that side of the business.
And that's one of the things you made a point about, and I've heard you talk about since then, is the value of low price points, particularly around impulse buys. And I think you specialize in getting below that $50 impulse buy, but there is a huge mental barrier around that $100 price point. And if you could get below it, it's a huge thing.
It is. And the more expensive you get, the bigger the risk someone has to take to buy something and experiment, because it's an experiment with Connected Kitchen right now. And boy, if you can be in gift category below $100 even, it's a much easier sell.
One of the other things that excited me, and it was on my list to get there, and I didn't get there, so I was super bummed about that. It was probably the biggest miss for me because I just ran out of time, was the Panasonic induction oven. I don't know if you saw the announcement, but is the first that I know of countertop induction oven. I mean, there's been induction cooking around for a long time there's burners. Some of the new connected devices have induction burners on them as well. But this was the first induction oven, I thought. And I've been watching with interest around consumer electronics companies and seeing how they're possibly looking at recreating the cooking boxes. So that's why I've been intrigued by the Freescale Now NXP attempt to bring RF cooking into some of these boxes. And so from my understanding, there's some interesting conversations going on there. And I would expect next year we'll see some cooking box or oven with RF cooking in it. And I'm not by RF, I don't mean microwave. But this one was maybe the biggest leap forward, I thought, from just a core cooking technology standpoint I saw in an oven at the show.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it. I did read about it some. And, one of the sort of holy grails for that type of thing is to have very good temperature control and to be able to go through different cooking modes in one cycle. Much like a steam oven does really cool stuff. So I'm kind of interested to see one when it comes out.
And the price point to me was actually reasonable. I think they CNET had them at $600. You compare that to, I think, the June oven, which is, it's obviously tech forward leaning, but I think that's going to be around $1,500, $2,000, a much different category. So $600, I think, is like a good starting point, for a new type of technology.
No, I totally agree. And it was a countertop oven, right?
It was countertop.
Yeah. Especially for people that live in small apartments or don't have room to put large appliances in their kitchen. That could definitely be everyone I know in Hong Kong, cooks on their countertop.
Just because of the space constraints, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the things I think when I've been thinking about housewares and these small countertop cooking appliances, I think there's more room to move quickly on the countertop versus built in. And that's why, and when you think about that, you think about overseas markets, but also urban environments and millennials. And I do know some of the research we've done and just talking to a lot of folks, millennials are much more willing, I think, at this point to experiment with cooking. And it seems like at least there's this belief that a lot of them are staying home and cooking. But I think that they're just definitely willing to experiment like with new cooking devices. And I think, sous vide, that plays well for sous vide. I think it probably plays well for your product. and I think something like this as well, if it falls in the right price point for them.
It does. You know, they're in an age range that grew up using this type of technology, so they're comfortable with it to begin with. Also, I just think most smart kitchen plays are going to take place with smaller appliances. Large appliances don't have that kind of turnover. If you're renting, somebody else made the decision what went in. If you bought something that was already built. And so connected large appliances is a much slower, long lead time play for the connected kitchen.
That's a great point on turnovers. I mean, traditional turnovers for built-in ovens, that's 10 years. And most white goods are 10 years that they're built in.
Yeah.
And I think over time you could see the turnover cycle increase a little bit. And because you've seen a little bit of that in TVs, which have been traditionally big ticket purchases as connected TVs have come in, but I don't think it's going to accelerate that much.
Agreed.
I want to throw an idea by you, and see if you think this category is. When I wrote about it, I called them guided cooking systems, and I felt like there's a few of them I saw at the show. I don't know if you had a chance to stop by the Heston side. Heston was one of a couple of the folks who were at our IoT dinner. They were both at. But they had this product called the Heston Q. They invited me at the dinner to come by. So I stopped by this Tuesday morning, and I had a chance to cook this amazing salmon using – I'm just to let you know, I'm not a great cook. Like I'm serviceable. I can feed my kids. So they're not starving. But fish is particularly hard too. And so they had this combination of an induction burner, basically kind of a round one, and then a sensor-based pan, had Bluetooth in it.
Right.
And then a connected app. And these are all working in concert. Now, stepping back and putting context around this, if you were at the summit, you probably heard a few people allude to this idea of, you know, connected kitchen can be like a GPS for the cook. And I think that's a good metaphor. And I think it has a wide range to this metaphor, right? So it could be anything like what you're doing with your connected bar appliance, a scale, an app where you're guiding people through making a drink. It could be an app. It could be something like a sous vide cooker that's connected, or it could be like a full range or system. And when I say system, it's a fairly comprehensive thing where they have an induction cooker, they have this pan, they have the app that guides you through, and you produce professional or chef-like results. So I feel like this is a rising category. It's part of a theme that I've talked about before, is this idea of, you know, augmented expertise. So I don't know if you've seen some of these connected cooking systems like this, or I think the Aliso is another one.
Yeah.
I think you may have sat across from Holger Henke, who's the CEO of Cucina Alley. They had another one called Intelligent Cooktop that I had a chance. He made me some risotto. What do you think of this idea where they're developing these systems with a burner, maybe a connected pan, and an app that guides you through the experience? Is that a new category?
I think it's the evolution of a category. And I'm not, you know, it's a few years ago, there were all kinds of stirring cookers with induction cooking.
Yep.
Kenwood did a mixer that had an induction, and the big thing was you could make perfect risotto. And I get that. The question becomes very quickly, what other things can you make? Because there's always some items that demo well, but how is it in sort of everyday life when you want to eat something beyond salmon?
And that's why I think if it's modular and it grows, that's important, right? So I think one of the characteristics, at least with the Heston Q that I think is interesting, is they have a pan, and then they also have a deep pot that they have indicated they'll allow you to do steam-based cooking. So basically a replacement for sous vide water baths.
Right.
And other things. And so I think if you can modularize it and make it like a system where you can do a wide range of stuff, that becomes really interesting to me.
It does. It does. I agree. And I think, you know, the interesting thing, that splits into two markets. So there's the market where people don't know how to cook or aren't really accomplished cooks. And so this augmented concept, I think, works really well for them. But the other market are people who believe they know how to cook. And how do you sell them? And that's sort of the interesting, you know, question in this marketplace. It's probably a stronger story to people who want to cook better.
Well, what I liked about this, and I'm just kind of talking about the experience more of cooking the salmon
Yeah.
Was I liked that it felt like it guided me through to where I could produce really good salmon, but the app was so new. This is hard to explain on a podcast, but the app and the experience was so that I felt like I could dial back the guidance as I got better. So there could be the ability to make really good food. And as I got more comfortable, the net underneath my high wire act, could be reduced I wouldn't need as much guidance and help. And I think that's important.
I think that's a really important concept because I think these solutions have to, and I've said this a few times, have to really, they also have to augment your workflow in the kitchen. They can't get in the way. So if there's a way to dial that back once you become more comfortable with the recipe or the way everything works, I think that's a big plus.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you guys had to announce, because this is indication of a really interesting trend. You had a deal with Absolut Vodka, and I know that Absolut has tiptoed a little bit into the world of IoT before this announcement, but first tell us about what the announcement is. And this, I want to break it down a little bit. So what's this announcement with Absolut?
Well, we basically announced a partnership. So Perfect Drink, our original product launched 3 years ago, is sort of, it's been our best-selling product, and we've been talking to Pernod Ricard, which is Absolut Vodka, for, I don't know, maybe the last 6 months, and sort of talking about this concept of a connected bar and what that would be, sort of the bar of the future at home. And they got really excited about this, and we've created this partnership to try to push this forward, you know, one more level. They're a huge company with incredible marketing, which is going to help us a lot. And we have a really, I think, fun, interesting product that helps them on their side as well.
So there's a lot of advantages, I think, that a product like yours can bring a company like Absolut. So what's, for people who don't know, I want to explain what it is. It's, and I'm going to mess it up and you could correct me, but it's a scale with associated app that allows you pretty precisely to mix drinks, and it's a very visual based system. It's like kind of like the idea of visual doneness with some of these cooking apps, in terms of like you just see, oh, that I see that's hitting as much alcohol as I want. It allows you to pour alcohol and mix it, and it's a visual guidance system in a sense, and you get really good drinks. I probably messed that up. Why don't I just have you give your 30-second elevator pitch?
Well, the 30-second elevator pitch is most people don't know many good recipes, if any at all, for mixed drinks, nor do they know really the proper technique or ratios to pour them and mix them. And so this app really guides you through. It's a lot of fun. It comes with hundreds of recipes. And thanks to Absolut, we're about to multiply that to thousands of recipes. And that's really what it's about. It's, you know, the products had incredible word of mouth, because we're definitely not a great marketing company at this point. But it's driven incredible word of mouth, because it's fun when people see it, they want to try it. And we've definitely sort of tapped into a market, which is people want to be able to do this at home and be successful.
You guys, by the way, haven't been trying to market, I think, that much. You just like, but you're Mike, you're the guy that Alec Baldwin love in Glengarry Glen Ross, cause you get coffee, cause you walk into rooms and get deals. You're a closer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's important. But I think you're amping up your marketing. Obviously, a deal with Absolut doesn't hurt. But what I see the advantage of a deal like this for Absolut is these companies probably never have had any visibility really in what people are mixing in their homes. They know that they're selling stuff. They could do surveys. But like this actually gives them almost like really granular information, and then they can aggregate it knowing what people are using and mixing in their home.
Yeah. There is no data on what people make in their homes. You know, Absolut or any other spirit company really has no insight into what people are doing at home. And then, you know, their other problem is somebody buys a bottle of their product and take it home and don't really know what to do with it, how to be successful so they come back and buy more. And a lot of this is with the brands is they want people to be very successful when they use their product, when they consume Absolut Vodka, they want them to make great drinks so they'll go back and buy more.
So how is this going to crystallize in the marketplace in terms of what this looks like from a consumer standpoint? Do I go and buy some Absolut and then it has a coupon to get a mixer, or is there going to be packaged, kind of packaged mixes at the retail? What does this look like?
No, it's probably there may be some bottles packaged with our product with scales. We're also working on a new form factor, which you saw early at the IoT dinner, that we'll probably do an announcement later this year, that makes it very portable and very brandable for brands. There's a big sort of shift in marketing, and it's about being able to connect with consumers when they have intent, when they're actually doing something. And we're really the perfect example of that. Right now, almost a third of our users keep track of what they have at home by putting their home inventory into the app so they know what they can make. And then there's a shopping list, and we see them planning for parties every weekend and creating a shopping list and going and buying product. And so, you know, that cycle is a really valuable cycle to be at the middle of, which is where we live. And so this is very interesting to any major company, because we have some idea what people have at home. We know what they're, you know, we have some idea what they're making in aggregate, and we have the opportunity when they go shopping to make suggestions or even suggest drinks that they may not have thought of based on what they've drank before. So it's just a real direct, a lot of, you know, millennials are connecting with brands through their mobile devices. And so this is just one more version of that.
I like this. I know that CPG companies, consumer packaging companies like Absolut, people that make things we consume, are intrigued and excited about the IoT. They're intrigued and excited about smart kitchen and smart home, but they don't know what to do. I mean, and I think kind of and naturally this is probably a good start, is to maybe do like a Dash integration with Amazon or something like that.
Sure.
But this one is just interesting because I think it's innovative. And I think it tells me at least that Absolut is like being a little more forward leaning than I think a lot of the other packaged good companies, the consumable companies I'm seeing out there.
I think so. I mean, obviously their packaging and their marketing is first rate, but they really think about digital in a big way. And, you know, when we go out and talk to them in Stockholm, we meet with their digital team, and it's really fascinating to see what they're thinking, what they'd like to be able to do. They're very much into that space and want to innovate there.
Last thing I want to talk about is just more broadly the smart bar. You said you kind of threw down the gauntlet at the Smart Kitchen Summit and said smart bar is not talked about enough. It's underserved. And I've kind of believed that now. I'm excited about it. And I think partly it's this idea that, I think there's less market friction towards consumers buying something that'll mix liquor. There's less kind of issues with just replacement cycles. It is something that could be an impulse buy, and it's a good talk about party thing, right? You could put this in your house, something like yours or even like the Soma bar, and people want to talk about it. It's exciting.
It is. Well, it's always the middle of a party. I mean, as soon as you bring it out and set the bottles out, it sort of becomes the fuel of the party, which is fantastic. And it's true. I think there's a lot less to overcome to get into the connected bar right now than there is the connected kitchen. Most people, like I said, don't know how to make drinks. I think building a home bar is still in the top 10 for home improvement. So I was at Total Wine a few months ago giving demos, and everybody who bought a scale had basically built a home bar and wanted to make this the center of it. So it's a great spot. It's a great first mover. And our thinking is once people get used to this in the bar, then it's easy to have that conversation about the kitchen as well.
Hey, well, Mike Wallace, thank you for spending time with me. People don't know this, but you've been incredibly patient this morning as I've had Skype issues. We finally got our act together. At least I did. And I appreciate you taking time, particularly after a grueling show in Chicago. Grueling in that I think you spent a lot of time there, probably were talking to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I came home and slept for 20 hours. I feel so much better now.
I haven't slept for 20 hours since I was maybe in college. So that's impressive. So.
Oh yeah. It was great. I feel so much better.
All right, man. Get caught up on your sleep, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Michael.
Smart Kitchen Show is written and edited by me, Michael Wolf. Brought to you by Technology.fm, Next Market Insights, and the Smart Kitchen Summit. Special thanks to Mike Wallace of The Perfect Company. All the music for today's show is created by Paul Tyan, T-Y-A-N. Check him out on SoundCloud. You can now find The Smart Kitchen Show on iTunes or just go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. For season 2, we hope to bring you lots more stories and different conversations and mix up the format a little bit. So stay tuned. And if you want to come to Smart Kitchen Summit, you know where to go, smartkitchensummit.com.